inspired by the Holy Ghost. And this same Holy Ghost is here tonight to teach me, to lead me, to guide me into great truth, which I will never lose nor leave behind. I will fill up in the power of the Holy Ghost. I will understand and not depart from the true Word of God in Jesus' name and in the wonderful name of Jesus. We thank you tonight for this opportunity to preach the Word of the living God. Tonight we pray that the Holy Ghost will reveal to the church and reveal to the believer what He has in store for us tonight. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated around the church tonight. I'm going to start by reading Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to go to the first 9 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. Repeat after me. But ye are not in the flesh. One more time. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in him. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. One more verse, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, because the Spirit is life, because of righteousness. Now, let's establish the scene a little bit here. When Paul went on his first missionary journey, he went to Cyprus and the Galatia region of Asia Minor. The people that Paul encountered, for the most part, were not Jewish, were not Israelites. They were Gentiles. They were not Jews. In all likelihood, they had little to no knowledge of the Ten Commandments. They had little to no knowledge about the Old Testament law. They were Gentiles, worshiping idols. They were Gentiles living the life that their culture dictated. When Paul went on his second missionary journey, this time he heads to Macedonia and he heads to Greece. It's the same situation. Yes, there are some Israelites living in Greece and Macedonia. But for the most part, the vast, vast, vast majority of the people are Gentiles, Greeks or Macedonians, not Jews. in the third missionary journey. Paul, he goes to Ephesus. Who does he encounter there? Once again, mostly Gentiles, those who are not Jewish. When Paul writes to Rome, is he writing to a city that is mostly Jewish, or is he writing to a city that is predominantly Gentile? Gentile. You can really make the case that from Paul's first missionary journey forward, the majority audience for the church would be Gentiles, those with little to no knowledge of the Old Testament law, those who would not have in all likelihood heard about the Ten Commandments. They were Gentiles. They knew nothing about this. Now, what did we see in verse 2? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Let's establish the law of sin and death here. A law that would basically apply to Gentiles, which is what? I'll just use three lines from Romans. The first one, there is none righteous, no, not one. Number two, which is what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number three, the wages of sin is death. So, for the Gentiles, under the law of sin and death, they were not righteous in the sight of God because they sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Therefore, they would receive the wages of sin, which is death. Let's go through this so we're together on this. For a Gentile, there is none righteous, not even them, because they are not righteous, because they have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. They now face the wages of sin, which is death. That was the fact that every Gentile would face. And when Paul arrived, he would be preaching a message that would do something in their lives that would radically change it. And that is what? Basically, save them from the law of sin and death. They were not righteous because they sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Well, something needed to happen in order for that situation to change. And what was this? It was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, going to the cross and shedding His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This includes the Gentiles. You see, when Jesus shed His blood on the cross, when Jesus made the final atonement for sin, He was making the atonement, really, for the Gentiles, because it's the blood of Jesus that makes one righteous in the sight of God. It is not what we do that makes ourselves righteous. It's what Jesus has done that makes us righteous. The righteousness of Jesus is our righteousness. A righteousness that came, how? Through the shed blood of Jesus. So, Jesus goes to the cross. He sheds His blood in order to pay the sin debt. Let's go one step further. When Jesus died on the cross, the old man died in order for the new man to come to life. Then the Spirit comes in, giving life to the new man. And that new man is what? The one that will see eternal life. So basically what? Jesus makes us righteous through His shed blood. Jesus makes us new creatures in Christ because God raised Him from the dead. Because we are new creatures in Christ, we no longer face the wages of sin. We receive what? The gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, when Paul arrives in each of these cities and he preaches the gospel, he does not preach about needing to follow the Ten Commandments. Why? Because the Old Testament law was written for Israel. However, the law of sin and death applied to the Gentiles. What Jesus did on the cross, it paid the penalty so a Gentile would no longer be under the law of sin and death. Because Jesus paid the sin debt, there was no more need for the second death. It now becomes being born again. Are we together on this?
Amen.
So when Paul arrives, he preaches a simple gospel, which is this. Jesus is the Christ. He died on the cross. His blood paid the sin debt. God raised Him from the dead, giving us life now and into eternity. This is the message that Paul preached to the Gentiles. Now, what do we see in the book of Acts? We see the Jews, when they hear the message, they basically resist. But we see the Gentiles accept in big numbers. So what happens when a Gentile believes in Jesus? They now become righteous in the sight of God. The righteousness that we have, we are Gentiles, by the way. The righteousness that we have is the righteousness that Jesus gave us, His own righteousness covered with His blood. The sin debt is paid. The old man dies. A new man comes to life. Then what happens? Then we have life now, life into eternity. Now, what do we see here? There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hold. How many of you are in Christ Jesus? Who's in Christ Jesus? Those who believe in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection. The message that Paul preached. The law of sin and death being paid for by Jesus. Because the sins are gone, we have life. We are no more in condemnation. We are no longer under the law of sin and death. So if you're of the mind, well, we're under the law of sin and death. We were under the law of sin and death. What Jesus did on the cross when God raised Him from the dead, it settled the differences and it ended the law of sin and death because we're no longer under sin. Therefore, we live. However, what did it say? Walk after the Spirit. So what happened when we believed in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection? I mentioned new man in Christ coming alive inside of us.
Amen.
When the new man came to life, the Spirit came inside as well. So what are we under as believers in Jesus right now? We're not under the law of sin and death. Jesus took care of that. We're definitely not under the Old Testament law. Jesus took care of that as well. We are under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When we believed in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection, the old sin died and the new came to life. The Spirit inside of us. Yes. This gives us life now, life into eternity. We are under the law of what? We are under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because we're under that, we are free from the law of sin and death. So every Gentile who is a believer in Jesus, which would be all of us for the most part, we heard the gospel when we were under the law of sin and death. But Jesus fulfilled that, paid the penalty, so we no longer are under the law of sin and death. We are now new creatures, new men in Christ. We are under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let me read verses 3 and 4 again real fast. For what the law of sin and death could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, why was it weak? You had to keep all without sin or you died. No one can keep the law, any law. Therefore what? Died. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteous requirement is fulfilled. How? Jesus shed His blood, wipes out our sin debt. The Spirit now can live inside of us because the old is dead and the new come to life. What Jesus did, the righteous requirement of the law was what? Fulfilled. To walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now let's look at this a little bit tonight. How many of you are believers in Jesus? Okay. We are under what? Are we under the law of sin and death? Or are we under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? We're under what? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Which means the Spirit now lives inside of us. So who is in charge of us? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, before we believed in Jesus, what was in charge? The law of sin and death. Who was in control? Was it the Spirit or was it the flesh? The flesh was in control. Before we believed in Jesus under the law of sin and death, the flesh was in control. When Paul went to all of these towns, before he preached, he saw all the idolatry and the immorality and the philosophy of the time in those regions. And he could see that these people were under the flesh. But what happened? They believed in the gospel message. Now the Spirit enters inside of them as believers. Who's in charge? The Spirit is in charge. So follow with me here. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh. Who's after the flesh? Believers or non-believers? Non-believers. For they that are after the flesh do mind the thing of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Those who are believers in Jesus, us, we should follow the Spirit. We mind or think about the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. What did we see in verse 2? The law of sin and death. Those who follow the flesh, law of sin and death. What was the other one? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Believers in Jesus, that would be us. We are what? Spiritually minded. Life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is in a state of war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Just look at the history of the world, and you see a group of people who is what? Not subject to the law of God. So they that are in the flesh, those who do not believe, cannot please God. This is why this first line in verse 9 is important. But ye are not in the... Why? Because we believe in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection. The Spirit is inside of us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. Are we together on this? The Spirit of God dwells in us. So we are no longer in the flesh. Now, let's take this a little further tonight. We are after the Spirit, right? But what happens if we stumble? What happens if we do something fleshly? Follow with me what I'm about to say. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me beside the still waters. And one other thing that I want to hit on, let me get there real fast. Psalm 23. He leads me down what? The path of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, path of righteousness. Where are the believers? We are on the path of righteousness. Why? Because Jesus, our good shepherd, has now put us on the path of righteousness. Now, what's the next verse? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, let's get a visual of this. We live in the San Joaquin Valley. The valley begins in the north at Red Bluff when you're driving off the mountain, and it ends in the south with the Grapevine when you start to climb up the mountain. I'm talking north-south here. Now, once upon a long time ago, before any highway was built, it was a long walk, and there was no set path from the top of the valley in the north to the one in the south. Somewhere along the line, late 60s, early 70s, into the 80s, something was built called Interstate 5. Interstate 5, even today, is the only road that you can take that will take you from the far north of the valley to the far south of the valley. So if we want to get through the valley, We have to stay on Interstate 5, the road that will get us from one end of the valley to the other. Are we together on that? Okay, so what does that have to do with anything? Follow with me. Imagine for a second, this valley is the valley of the shadow of death. There is only one way through the valley of the shadow of death. What is that way? The path of righteousness. Who is the one who takes us down the path of righteousness? The Lord is my shepherd. So we, the sheep of Jesus' pasture, we start heading down into the valley of the shadow of death. But are we really in the valley of the shadow of death? Not if we stay on the path of righteousness, which our shepherd will keep us on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? One, Jesus is with us. Two, He is keeping us on the path of righteousness. What else do we see? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For a shepherd, the rod and the staff, what does it do? The rod and the staff is used by the shepherd to keep the sheep on the path. Make sure they do not wander from right to left, keeping them going in one direction. Some of the shepherd's staff, they have this hook on it. It's there for a reason beyond looking cool. It is there for the shepherd to get the sheep and pull him back to the road. Now, what word did David use? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When you are in hard times, the Lord will comfort you right back to the path of righteousness. What word was used with comfort in the New Testament? I will send you another comforter who will be with you. How long? Abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit is inside of us when we believe in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection. So what is Jesus doing? He is guiding us from where we got saved, from that point, all the way through until we are forever with Him through all eternity. Jesus is using the Holy Spirit to guide us from where we started as believers through the rest of our lives. Jesus uses the Spirit to do this. Now let's look at this a little more New Testament. 1 Corinthians. What is one of Paul's lines? You are carnal. Now, why did the Lord have Paul write the book of 1 Corinthians to begin with? The quick overview. Beginning of the book. What's the problem? You're divided. Some are of Paul, some are of Cephas, some of Apollos. Paul's line, you are of Christ. What else did we see? We see allowing that immoral couple and putting him in a place of honor. correction. Paul is saying that should not be allowed. We see churches suing each other. And Paul is saying, no, that should not happen. What else do we see? We see the church misusing the Lord's Supper. What else do we see? We see what? Chapter 15, a group who do not think the resurrection, well, it's already happened, or it's not going to happen at all. Now, why did the Spirit have Paul write the book of 1 Corinthians? Because we have a group of Corinthians that's trying to get off the path of righteousness. So Jesus is having Paul write this letter so Jesus can use the Spirit to get these Corinthians back on the path of righteousness. The purpose of 1 Corinthians is to get the believers back on the path of righteousness. This is how much Jesus cares. He could have sent lightning and fried them, but he said, you know what? I have given them of my Spirit, and I'm going to keep them on the path of the straight and narrow. So Paul, write 1 Corinthians. I'm going to use that so I can keep them on the path of righteousness. The same thing with Galatians. Think about this. A group of people who want to follow the Old Testament law. Why does Jesus have Paul write Galatians? So that church can be on the path of righteousness. So they're not straying into the valley of the shadow of death where the danger is. We have a Paul who wrote the book, but really the Holy Spirit hooking these Galatians, getting them back on the path of righteousness. This is the love that Jesus had. He wanted these believers to be back on the path of righteousness. Even the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Sometimes it's easy to look at things through a negative point of view. Oh, well, Jesus wants to punish. If Jesus wants to punish, all he would have to do is snap his fingers and that's it. What do we see Jesus doing? 1 Corinthians, Galatians, the seven churches in Revelation. He is doing what is necessary to keep them on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He is using the Spirit. What's that line that it's attached to every church, whether good or bad? To hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Jesus is using the Spirit, following the leading and the guiding of the Spirit, to get all of these churches, all of these believers, back to the path of righteousness. Think about this. The reason we have the Spirit inside of us is so Jesus can lead us from where we got saved that point through the rest of our lives, guiding and directing so we won't fall into the trap of the flesh. So he can keep us on the path of righteousness. The Spirit is used by Jesus to keep us on the straight and narrow path. Are we together on this? The Spirit is used by Jesus for our benefit and for our good. He wants us to go from where we start. Where was that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in still waters. He wants us to get to prepare a table in the presence of our enemies. But to do that, get through the valley of the shadow of death. The good shepherd is the one leading and guiding us, using the Spirit to do so. So, when we read these things, I want us to start thinking a little positive here, which is what? Lord, how do you want to guide me? Which way do I need to go? Now, if you are making a turn, let's say you're through Stockton and you're about ready to head into the real valley of the shadow of death, when the Savior hooks you with the Spirit, don't stop. No. It's like, thank you, Lord. You are bringing me through. This is for my good and my benefit. The Corinthians, they were heading into the carnal. And what is Jesus doing? He is trying to get them out of the carnal and back into the path of righteousness. This is a loving, caring move on the part of the Savior. The same with the Galatians. Think about this. Jesus could have just let them go, and that would have been the end of it. But the Holy Spirit is not inside of us just for nothing to happen. The Holy Spirit is inside of us to bring us to victory. So we don't get lost on the way to where Jesus is through all eternity. Believers in Jesus' time, let's wrap this up here. The Spirit is inside of us as believers in Jesus. Why? So we can be led through this life and be led to the victory. Who's doing the leading? Jesus. How is He doing this? Through the Spirit. So the call tonight is for the Spirit to lead and guide our every path, our every step. Yes, the world will try to get us to go off the beaten track, to follow after the flesh, to follow their false ways, whatever. But the Spirit is inside of us, used by Jesus, to make sure that doesn't happen. Why is the Spirit inside of us? So we don't stumble and fall. Let me repeat that, then we'll wrap up. The Spirit is inside of us so we won't stumble and fall. We just need to rely on the Spirit and Jesus' direction through the Spirit. And when we do, we won't stumble. We won't fall. We won't leave a path of righteousness. We stay right where Jesus wants us to be till He leads us to the victory. Let's stand across the church tonight.